Good evening, and welcome to Unity Church. First of all, I want you to know that from your perspective, it looks like the flames are very close to the trees. They are not. There are also two fire extinguishers, which have been checked, that are up here with us in the chancel. So the rush of letters we get each year might be avoided. Be assured that we're being careful. Thank you. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you live a loving life of integrity and service and joy. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the church. You're invited to join us for Wellspring Wednesday. Program details are in This Week at Unity. If you wish to dine with us, please sign up after the service. Dinner will be at 6 o'clock, family worship at 6:45, and the programs begin at 7:10. Your order of service lists a hymn number for O Come Emmanuel at the end of the service. It is wrong. It would be terrible if we sang those words because they're really very strange. So we're going to go back to use the supplement, which is the little gray paperback hymnal, and it will be S41, the traditional words to O Come Emmanuel. After the service this morning, there are a number of gifts available for purchase in the parish hall. The Tower Club is selling cookies. The wreaths have sold out. I'm so sorry. You'll have to buy your wreath somewhere else. But we do have cookies. And the annual Bolivian craft sale, sponsored by the Mano a Mano ministry outreach team, is taking place. It's been moved from the cloister into the parish hall because it's really cold in the cloister. So the craft sale, beautiful, beautiful things to benefit the medical and community development work of Mano a Mano Medical Resources in Bolivia is in the parish hall. And the Evergreen Quilters also have a table at which they are selling these lovely little bags. Following the service, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can see new friends and old, peruse our excellent bookstall, and stop by the information tables. The children's and adult libraries are also open after the service and are available to you. The libraries are located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. If you're interested in becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table, which is in the parish hall. Next week, Jan Eller Isaacs and Worship Associate Ginger Reynolds will offer a service entitled Bringing Kindness to the Season. Services will be held at 9, 11, and 4:30. Sonia and I would like to greet you following the service at the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church.
Advent in Latin means coming or arrival. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, which on the Christian calendar is a holy season marked by a spirit of expectation, preparation, and longing. It references the waiting the Hebrews did for their Messiah and simultaneously serves to remind us of the waiting we endure for peace in this world today. Come, let us gather here in expectation, preparation, longing, and hope. Come, let us worship together.
Will you turn to number 429 in the back of your hymnals and read with me in unison? Come into this place of peace and let its silence heal your spirit. Come into this place of memory and let its history warm your soul. Come into this place of prophecy and power, and let its vision change your heart. Please be seated. Each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel with the children, we take a moment to invite into the circle of friendship and compassion we want our church to be those who can't be here with us today, and some who are. Those who are off somewhere celebrating some great turning in their lives. Those who are in need of the very real care of this congregation. Those who have died. I will begin, and when I pause, I will invite you to speak the names of those you have brought here in your hearts. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain or with addiction, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days. We want you to know the church is at your side. We hold in our prayers Betty Shore Bloyer, who fell last week and broke her tibia and femur. She's recovering at St. John's Hospital. Alan Giles, who fell and hurt his knee and is currently waiting for surgery. Mike Schwab, who, having served Camp Unistar for 15 years, is entering a time of vocational discernment. Alex Chandler, who is home facing some difficult decisions relating to her health. Laura Frickman's father, who fell and broke his hip. His hospitalization has revealed some additional issues which are of deep concern to his family, though Laura approached me this morning and said things had taken a positive turn. And Ward Schindel, who has been living with lymphoma, informs us that his latest scans are all clear. We want to especially call to mind Amber Lockridge's friends, Ed and Christine, who were 5 months pregnant with their first child when on December 1st, Christine miscarried and they lost the baby, a boy. He would have been named Caleb Drew Kester. And our hearts are with Amber as well, who is experiencing a particular kind of spiritual distillation as she comes to grips with having lost virtually all her possessions in a fire last week. She's doing very well. Her friends have gathered round, and she seems to know what's really important. And finally, we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to share the names you've brought here in your hearts. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose light endows and animates our lives, we acknowledge thy presence within and among and beyond us this day. Give us the courage, we pray, to turn with the turning of the year, to be with the darkness, to allow it to fill the empty place inside. Help us to turn toward that which we fear, not in a foolhardy way, but in the full awareness that by moving into and through the night terrors, we can be restored in thy love and thus be instruments of the peace we long for. May this be our promise and our prayer. Amen.
would have been enough. In 1961, Arthur Foote, then minister of the church, received a request from the Unitarian Service Committee. It seemed that a young man, a 16-year-old, had walked from Malawi up into Uganda and sought out the office of what was then called the African American Friendship Society, a Unitarian ministry in that part of the world, and asked whether there was any chance he could come to the United States to learn English. Triwell Narongo arrived in January of the following year, with the clothes on his back, carrying his only possession, which was a comb made out of nails. He was to be here for a year, and he moved into the home of Emily and Whittier Day. At the end of the year, he was supposed to go back to Malawi, and Emily and Whittier said, "We don't think so. We think that Unity Church would like him to stay, and we think we would like to put him through college." So he went to college, and while he was going to college, and the church, with some help from outside, paid for it, he decided to go to med school. And he went to med school, and the church, with some help from beyond the church, paid for it. And through his residency and on, the church supported Triwell, and he went back to Malawi and he started a clinic. And there are now three clinics, and they support the needs of 50,000 people. We're very proud of this work that we've sustained now for more than 40 years. 5 years ago, a couple of the people involved in this work came to me at coffee hour and said, "It's time for you, me, to go to Malawi. Quote, our chief needs to talk to their chief." I said, "First of all, I'm not your chief. And second of all, what is this about?" And they said, "He's 60 years old. The average life expectancy in Malawi," you may notice that I'm talking for a long time about this. This is to give you a chance to get out your checkbooks. But don't fill in the amount just yet. They said, "He's 60 years old. The average life expectancy in Malawi is 32. There are 130 doctors in the entire country. We need to know what his plans are. We'd like to help him think about lineage." So I was not really prepared to get on a plane and go to Malawi. It was May, and they wanted me to go right away. So I said, "I'll consider going if you can find a physician who can actually help to evaluate the situation and advise." And the next morning I got a call from John Suchere, who is a surgeon, saying, "When are we going?" And I said, "When would you like to go?" And he said, "3 weeks." And he arranged it, and 3 weeks later we found ourselves in the hills of northern Malawi with Triwell Narongo, asking him, "What are your plans?" And he said, "Have you met my son, Thomas?" Well, we of course immediately assumed that Thomas was being pushed into this by his dad, so we went out for a long walk with Thomas, who assured us that he in fact wanted to do this. So almost 4 years ago, Thomas moved in with Kevin and Arlene and their family, and Unity Church, with some help from outside, has been putting Thomas through Lawrence University in Appleton. And he's now a senior and intends to go to medical school in South Africa. Today's offering will go in its entirety to support the education of Thomas Narongo, and more importantly, the implication of that education, which is that service will continue to 50,000 people who make use of the Enchanachana clinics. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $10,000. If you wish to give more than $10,000 this evening, Please see me after the service, and we can discuss some alternative approach. Will the ushers please come forward? The love and good work born here radiates out and touches people all around the world. Please be generous. In deference to the pressures of the season, we've added a second meditation period to the services from now through Christmas Eve. It's another opportunity for silence followed by a singing meditation, and I'm going to teach it to you, at least the beginning of it. We'll be adding additional harmonies over the coming weeks. So I'll sing a line and you sing it back to me. It's very simple. When I breathe in peace. When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. That's the whole thing. So let's be together for a moment of silence, and then I'll begin and we'll sing it 6 times.
By Sylvia Plath, Nick and the Candlestick. I am a miner. The light burns blue. Waxy stalactites drip and thicken. Tears. The earthen womb exudes from its dead boredom. Black bat airs wrap me, raggy shawls, cold homicides. They weld to me like plums. Old cave of calcium, icicles, old ichor. Even the newts are white, those holy joes. And the fish, Christ, they are panes of ice. A vice of knives, a piranha religion, drinking its first communion out of my live toes. The candle gulps and recovers its small altitude. Its yellows harden. Oh, love, how did you get here? Oh, embryo, remembering even in sleep, your crossed position. The blood blooms clean in you, Ruby. The pain you wake to is not yours. Love, love, I have hung our cave with roses, with soft rugs. The last of Victoriana. Let the stars plummet to their dark address. Let the mercuric atoms that cripple deep into the terrible well. You are the one, solid the spaces lean on, envious. You are the baby in the barn.
Magnificat. My soul magnifies God. We are enlarged.
And rejoicing, my spirit breaks out, rejoicing in the face of freedom.
That God, something now within, not yet mine, has glanced at this daughter of hope.
And behold, henceforth, time will know and regard me.
For that great mystery is a beam drawn through this lens.
Comforting me and all people, the shadows now dispersed.
There is strength here like the sinew of a mother's arm.
It shatters the brittle pride of wealth.
It levels the clay-foot thrones of tyrants.
It upholds the forgotten, the scarred.
Hunger, both body and soul, will be filled.
Riches will no more be rewarded.
The Holy One cleaves to those who keep faith. It will endure in those who serve mercy.
And the promise made to legend ancestors will be kept.
Forgive me, my delight, that grief and loneliness have kept me. Though I come to you in darkness, you are companion of the light that rises on all I know. In the long night of the year, and of the Spirit, God's birth is met with simple noise. Deaf and blind in division, I reach and do not find. You show the gentler way. We come to good by love. Our words must be made flesh, and flesh must be made word at last. Our lives rise in speech to our children's tongues. They will tell how once we stood together here, two trees whose lives in annual sheddings made their way into this ground, whose bodies turned to earth and song. The song will tell how old love sweetens the fields. Now, we're going to sing Love Will Guide Us, and we don't know it very well, which means we need to sing it loudly in protest. And Ruth is probably going to drop out, choir. So that means that when it comes time to humor it, sing harmonies, you need to do so with gusto. Okay? Please. Please stand. Love will guide us, peace has tried us, hope inside us will lead the way. On the road from greed to giving, love will guide us through the long night. Peace has tried us, hope inside us will lead the way. On the road from greed to giving, love will guide us through the long night. Hear the song of peace within you. Hear the song of peace in your heart. Spring's new beginning will lead to the harvest. Love will guide us on our way. Love will guide us, peace has tried us, hope inside us will lead the way.
to giving. Love will guide us through the long night.
Well, the elders are thrilled. The cold and dark have finally come again. It's truly St. Paul time. We rise to pray each morning in the uneasy peace before dawn. I light a candle, take a deep breath, let it out with a sigh, and lie down on my back to start the day. Most mornings now I wake up with my body full of bees. How are you? Jan will ask. I'll be okay, I say. Years of experience have taught me how morning devotions soon drive the night terrors away. So I stretch out and I write for a while. I read and I breathe and I stretch out again, and then I think of you and bow my head and pray. I tell you this not to impress you with my piety, but because I know so many of us spend time in the old cave of calcium icicles, old echoes, that place of cold night terror Sylvia Plath so powerfully describes. She's pointing toward the emptiness. She's trying to describe the hollow place inside that only God can fill. Having gathered to give thanks for an abundant harvest, we turn now to the empty quarter, the place from which the storms sweep in, the time of year when wisdom counsels us to contemplate the empty place inside us, to spend some time down in the earthen womb, that stone-cold cave which frightens us to death and promises new life. Now, you probably know how it feels to wake up with your body full of bees, but just in case you miss my meaning, let me introduce you to my fruitful, sometimes frightening, little friends. I call them bees because they buzz, because they threaten to sting, and because they can cross-pollinate. Now, this is a metaphor. Unitarians, metaphor. Metaphor, Unitarians. It's Christmas. Get used to it. These bees flit around as random worries, setting off alarms. Now, those alarms go off whenever the bees kind of hover in the inner air. The fear is visceral. I know these bees are not real, any more than dreams are real. But the fear is real enough. The buzzing makes my breathing shallow. My heart speeds up. I tense and wait to be stung. I start to forget what I know, and sometimes the fear just takes over, and I myself become an angry bee and sting whoever's closest to me, raging as I am at the empty place inside me that nothing ever seems to fill. I know you know something about that emptiness. Now, I know that it's dangerous. I know that we're taught from early childhood that every hunger is meant to be filled. And so we try to fill the hollow place inside us with all kinds of things that just can't do the job. The longing for wholeness takes hold of us. We feel it physically. We can call it a disease, and often do. And in a very real sense, it is. Some of us attempt self-medication. We use drugs or alcohol to fill the yearning and fall into debilitating patterns of addiction. Others think that sex will do the trick and work hard at it. Some imagine food will provide the satisfaction that they seek and eat themselves into a stupor, especially in the holidays. Most frightening of all are those addicted to narrow, destructive ideologies who imagine that they know God's will and visit it regularly upon their neighbors. When we encounter emptiness, our first impulse is to try to cure it. We want to make it go away. We want the suffering to stop right now. But hold on. It may be that emptiness is actually part of the design. Could the hollow place inside be a standing invitation into depth? Instead of curing it, rather than finding some way to fill it up and seal it off and so escape the pain, might we not work to find a different way? Might we not befriend and bow before the empty place inside us? Oh, love, how did you get here? Love, love, I have hung our cave with roses. You are the one solid the spaces lean on, envious. You are the baby in the barn. As our eyes begin to adjust to the darkness, we catch a first glimpse of the Christmas star. Advent is a time for learning how to see again, a time for learning how to wait. I won't indulge myself or waste your time again this year by railing against the commercialization of Christmas. It's boring. Even though I'm waking up each morning with my body full of bees, even though, and Jen and Hannah will tell you, I can be an awful Grinch this time of year, I know that I will eventually succumb. The spirit's just too strong in me. I've held too many babies in my arms to stand outside the stable in the dark. Let me simply point out to you that the holiday season inflames our yearning for wholeness and connection, while at the same time it deludes us into worshiping false gods. Our Advent theme this year is images of peace. As we contemplate the coming of one so often called the Prince of Peace, we wonder if the wars will ever cease. I know there are some stern souls who question whether yet another sermon on the need for inner peace will undermine the urgent need to summon all our strength to confront and overcome the machinery of war. While I go on about the need for inner peace, innocents are dying in Iraq and Lebanon and God only knows where else. Why aren't we out in the streets by the millions then? What are we waiting for? Listen to these words the angel Gabriel whispered into Mary's ear. There is strength here like the sinew of a mother's arm. It shatters the brittle pride of wealth. It levels the clay foot throne of tyrants. It upholds the forgotten, the scarred. Hunger both of body and soul will be filled. Riches will no more be rewarded. The Holy One cleaves to those who keep faith. it will endure in those who serve mercy. And the promise made to legend ancestors will be kept. I understand and oftentimes share that sense of urgency, but it does us no good. We live at the intersection of action and reflection. Self-reflection is no luxury which has to wait until more urgent matters are attended to. It is as essential to our lives as food and drink. When we don't take time to get up early and befriend the darkness, we all too soon are overcome by all those bees buzzing inside us, by all those inner demons. Then all our efforts in the name of peace, encumbered by our rage, confusion, and fear, will only magnify the violence we hope to quell. What was the promise made to legend ancestors? It was not peace everlasting. Though we should pray and work for peace with every fiber of our being, the promise is the baby in the barn. The promise is the possibility that you and I might come to know the Holy One concealed in the darkness, not in some distant land, but here at home, not in some long ago, but here, today, right now. You are the promise. You are the one. You are the baby in the barn. Though grief and loneliness have kept you, you are the companion of the light that rises on all I know. Now, wait a minute. Don't pull back into yourselves just yet. Don't run away. You're not the only one. As your eyes begin to adjust to the dark, you'll see the others shining there like stars. The child of God is everywhere for those with eyes to see. Let it be our first Christmas prayer for this and every year to look into each other's eyes and see the holy light reflected there. You know it matters how you greet each day. You know it matters how we greet each other. And you know it matters how we greet the many neighbors we have yet to know. So bow before the emptiness and bow before the light. The night is long this time of year to give our eyes time to adjust to the dark. The yearning is especially sweet and strong now. Don't fill it up, but savor it instead, that we might come to know its blessing. Oh, love, how did you get here? What mystery is at work when love is born again in the stone-cold darkness down below? Though I come to you in darkness, you are companion of the light that rises on all I know. Love, you know, takes tending. We have to work at it. And love is the possibility of peace. We come to good by love, the poet farmer sings. Our words must be made flesh, and flesh must be made word. At last, our lives rise in speech to our children's tongues. They will tell how we once stood together here, trees whose annual sheddings made their way into this ground, whose bodies turned to earth and song. The song will tell how old love sweetens the fields. May it be so. And amen. Let us join in singing from the supplement, number 41. Turn then with the turning of the year. Befriend the darkness. Bow before it. It is the way to peace. Pray for peace. Work for peace. And be at peace, dear friends. Amen.